Welcome to KJV Cafe, where the truths of God's Word come alive. Grab a hot cup of coffee or tea and spend some time learning about our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Listen now to Pastor Clark Covington of Heartland Community Baptist Church as he explores great insights from the Word of God.
Let's take a minute to look at what it means not to stumble. You know, walking uprightly, it requires at least one thing. To walk uprightly, to not stumble, to be on the right path, it requires at least one thing. Can you guess what that is? Do you know what I'm speaking of? It requires light. To walk uprightly only can be done in the light. I mean, think about it. When you walk in the dark, no matter how talented you are at walking, no matter how great your gait is or how great your step is or how athletic you are or nimble or well-balanced, however you want to put it, I'm none of those, but imagine being in the complete dark. You won't walk uprightly. I mean, first off, you won't be able to see what's in front of you, so inevitably you can trip. We live out in the country. We live on an old dairy farm, and it's, you know, not a farm anymore, and we've got neighbors and so forth, and I guess you'd say we're in a smaller subdivision now, but the roads, they're older, and when it's dark, man, you can slip and fall if you're not careful, because it gets really dark out here. There's no street lights or anything, and so it can get very easy to stumble, and what I notice about that is that in stumbling, we can hurt ourselves. And, you know, if you really want to get technical, you can die. You can fall and you can die. And we need to understand spiritually that this holds a great truth for us, that the source of light is Jesus. The Savior of mankind is Jesus. But that same Jesus, the Bible tells us, is also a stumbling block to this disobedient world. Our text verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So 1 Peter 2, chapter 8, is speaking of Jesus, speaking of God, speaking of this idea that same Jesus that can be our defense instead of offense, that can be our source of light, our source of truth, our source of hope, our source of security, all those things. At the same time, for those in the world, and yes, Christians too, that are living disobedient to the Lord, it becomes a stumbling block. I'll go as far as to say it becomes the stumbling block on which they fall to their death. Or spiritually speaking, and this is rooted in Isaiah chapter 8, 13 through 15. "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." Interesting. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear and your dread. You get this idea that we need to stop looking to the world on how to live and start looking to God on how to live, right? We need to start looking to God as the one that we fear. You know, people are afraid to get sick or afraid to lose their job or afraid of all these things. This scripture, I believe, is telling us, don't be afraid of those things. Fear God and everything else will be okay. Verse 14, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." And so here we see this great comparison that the prophet Isaiah is giving, a sanctuary to those that seek him, that those that have the light, and a stumbling block, a rock of offense to those that don't, even his own people that don't have Jesus or do not seek the Lord, do not understand his ways, amen? Because we need to be saved, but then we need to also kind of be sanctified and be living for him and be understanding him, not to keep our salvation, once saved, always saved, but to not stumble, to not fall. Verse 15, "And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." The word snare is like a trap. And so the idea is like you got the bear trap set and you got, let's say, a piece of fried chicken in that trap, and that bear comes along and that juicy chicken looks so good, and they get into that trap and they take a bite of that chicken and boom. Now the bear's stuck in the trap. It's stuck in a snare and it can't get out, and it's headed for a bad ending. And that is the life of many that get stuck in the temptations of the devil, stuck in the ways of the world, and never find peace, satisfaction, hope, and eternal life in Jesus. Now, this scripture, Isaiah 8, 13 through 15, is speaking of the coming invasion of Israel and Syria. Isaiah is speaking of the truth, that we need to put our cares, worries, hopes, and security in God, not the world, as he was urging those Israelites to do at that time, saying, look, don't put your hope in these worldly governments and these worldly kings and these worldly powers. Put your hope in the God who, in that instance, is their God, right? Israel's their his chosen people, and they had gone astray. And Isaiah, again, is speaking this duality of Christ, either the protection or the stumbling block, the sanctuary or the snare. You know, the title of this message today is he picking you up or causing you to stumble? I mean, it's really fascinating because if you were to go to somebody just on the sidewalk and say, is Jesus a stumbling block? Can God make you trip up and all these things? People most likely would just give you a canned answer. Oh no, God is love and God is everything about love and good deeds are enough and blah, blah, blah. But if you truly get in the Word, it clearly shows that this same God, the same one, you know, that had this cornerstone, that the whole our whole faith and our whole life is based upon Jesus, is the same one the builders cast aside. Those in the world, the worldly powers, said no. The ones that could have made Jesus king in Israel said no, and they crucified him instead. It's this idea of a massive rock at the foundation of a building in the road that people encounter, and one of two things happen. They say, this is the stone that I'll join, I'll use to live behind, to protect me. I'll trust this stone. The stone is everything to me. It's the foundation. It's the cornerstone of my life. They'll either say that, or this is the stone that I'll avoid. And when they avoid it, or they try to avoid it, they stumble because they didn't realize how powerful it was and how big it was and how important it was and how foundational it is. And they're injured beyond help. So are you growing in Jesus? Are you protected by Jesus? Are you alive in Jesus? Or are you falling? Are you stumbling? You know, it's sad to say, but you know, if you are safe and secure in Jesus and you understand the scripture, you actually become pretty well aware of others that are stumbling on this same salvation, the same rock. You know, you ever think about that? You know, you're saved by the blood of Christ. You're living for the Lord. And then now all of a sudden you really could truly see or discern why others may be stumbling in their life, may be falling, may not be able to understand why they cannot have peace, why they cannot have security, understand truly the fate of this world. Are you stumbling over this rock? Are you finding yourself on the treacherous end of it? I mean, maybe you can't kick a habit. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe there's a temptation that's just getting you. Maybe there's problems that just have you beyond frustrated. And this could all help you today, understanding this idea of Jesus, the one picking you up or causing you to stumble. And today I just want to speak briefly about the way this came to be and how man is apt to stumble. The main reason men stumble, and women, of course, and the resolution for stumbling. Yeah, there's a resolution, I'm telling you that. Number one, though, let's look kind of at how this came to be or what's going on. The stumbling man, a cornerstone disallowed by men, chosen by God. You know, in the scripture, it tells us that this cornerstone was cast aside. You know, there's an importance of choosing God over the world, and the world chose the worldly system, the little g god of this world, the devil, and his ways over God. And that starts in the Garden of Eden. It starts with Adam and Eve rejecting the rule, the one thing they were supposed to do. You know, you can eat all the fruit in the garden, but don't eat of the forbidden fruit. And what did they do? They ate of the forbidden fruit. Man has been sin-cursed ever since. And ever since, man, for the most part, has put their trust in the things of the world, in the ways of the world. Many ignore God's call. You understand this conflict, this spiritual battle that happens where people are going with the crowd. You know, I heard a preacher say that if the crowd is into it, it's probably wrong. I have to agree with that most of the time. you know, they're going with the crowd, or they're going with what the government tells them is okay, or they're going with what culture or the movies or music or whatever else apps and social media is telling them is okay. And then here God is calling them, maybe ever so subtly, maybe ever so slightly, through a gospel track, through a sermon like this, through a knock on the door, an invitation to church, through an online message, or through any other way, through his word, of course, through radio ministry, through TV. God is calling subtly, saying, look, it's not supposed to be this way. You're not supposed to put your faith and your hope and trust in worldly things that perish, in materialism, in false gods and false idols. Again, nothing has changed. It was the same way back then as it is now. And this is the sad fact. Many will perish because of our Savior. You understand that? There's an importance of choosing God, because we choose Jesus and we're saved by Jesus. Well, who is the one that comes back at the judgment? Who's at the judgment seat? Christ. So many will perish, and this stumbling block will make them stumble, right? Many invitations are given to take shelter in him before this destruction occurs. And so you have to understand that God, he gives us the opportunity to be saved. He gives us every opportunity to be saved, starting at birth. John 1:9, that was the true light, this is speaking of Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So John 1:9 explains that every man that comes into the world has been somehow given this illumination that God is real, given this understanding. And then we know that the world testifies to God, that you can't look at how the world operates and how the cloud rains down water and onto the mountain, and then it goes down to the lake or the river, and then it evaporates up into the cloud and all these things. You can't look at how tree gives off oxygen and then takes in carbon dioxide, which we give out, and there's a cycle. We do this in our church. We got so deep into it, we studied seed dispersion and how God allows a seed from a flower to go into the wind and fly a certain place and land and grow. Look at a watermelon. How does a watermelon come from that seed? Anyways, God gives us, that creation testifies to God. He gives us this light. It lights every man, right? And we have to understand that he gives an opportunity. Now, we don't know how. Oh, Lord, we wish we knew how, but we don't know how. I've got relatives that aren't English speaking, that we just try to get a gospel track in their language and talk to them. And we don't know how, but we know that God has given the opportunity to know him somehow, some way, and that he wants all to be saved. You know how I know God wants all to be saved? 2 Peter 3:9-10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So where does this conflict root in? This idea that both God is just and true and holy, and he gives us this, everyone that comes into the world, some light, and he wants us all to be saved, and yet the fact of truth that, hey, the world is going to melt away. Talk about global warming. They got no idea. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God's holy. God's love is in line with his holiness. And his holiness says all sin must be defeated. All sin must be paid for. And that payment was made by who? By Jesus Christ. So the conflict roots in. The problem comes up when we look at where we live our lives, how we live our lives, what we make important. Where do we start stumbling? And I would say it comes from being disobedient. You know, there's an importance to obedience. Obedience is more important to God than sacrifice. And I've got scripture on that. The prophet Samuel speaks on behalf of God to the King Saul about the issue after Saul refused to destroy the Amalekites after God's command.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. As you learn the great truths in God's Word, we encourage you to take the verses mentioned in this episode and study them. Trusting God will open your eyes to a deeper understanding of Himself. Now here's Pastor Clark with the rest of today's message.
1 Samuel 15, 21 through 23. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So this is an example here of Saul's army taking things they should have just destroyed because they kind of want to show out and say, ooh, look at our big sacrifice. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Who's speaking this? Prophet Samuel. On behalf of who? God. Here we see, and again, the verse is 1 Samuel 15, 22. I encourage you to look it up. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. It's better to be obedient than to bring something big to God. And many people will try to do this exact thing. They will say, God, I didn't do it your way, but hold on. I helped an old lady cross the street. I paid my neighbor's rent 1 month. I paid it forward. I did this, blah, blah, blah. And God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Because to know God is to be close to him, and to be close to him is to be in his word, and to be in his word is to understand we must be obedient, that he values obedience more than sacrifice. So then disobedience often comes in the form of what? I mean, where can we act disobedient that gets in the way of our relationship with the Lord that causes us to stumble? The word. There's not sufficient light. We don't have the word in us. There's not sufficient light. Psalm 119, 110, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Without the word, then it is what? It's no effect. With no light comes no direction. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while there is light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Jesus said this himself. When you're in the dark, you don't know where you're going. And again, you will stumble because you don't know where you're going. You're all over the place. And what's the light? Jesus. And here we see in Psalm 119, the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Again, I'm just taking scripture and I'm just comparing it with other scripture and I'm just sharing it with you here, letting you know Jesus is the light. Jesus is the word. The word is important to us. The word helps us, illuminates our path, shows us where to go. And disobedience comes from what? Not getting in the word. Again, how many Christians have a dusty old Bible? I preached recently about starving for the word, this idea of spiritual anemia, the idea that many churches are not getting into the word. So what happens? They become ignorant to God's ways and they stumble. They try to be all about the sacrifice, this beautiful thing that they do without being obedient. And that will not work with God. And so we have to understand, to avoid stumbling, we must be in his word. If you're lost today and you get in his word, amen, and you truly want to seek him, you truly want to know him, and you approach him and say, okay, God, reveal yourself to me, and you pray that prayer, and you read his word like the Gospel of John and Matthew and so forth, I believe you'll be saved, amen. I believe the Lord will save you right there. Just as the scripture I read, he's long-suffering towards us. He doesn't want any to perish. He'll save you, amen. And once you're saved, what do you need to do? You need to stay in the word. You know, some churches, they want to save people and then let them go off. Afar off. You know what? Look, God, I believe, will keep them because that's who God is if they're truly saved. But it's our job to disciple them, to help them grow, to help them see, to help shine that light that is in the word like I'm doing today. All I'm doing, I'm not giving you anything new, anything that I've made up, anything on my behalf. This is of God. This is God. And I'm just sharing God's word with you saying, hey, you know what? Wake up. Is he picking you up or causing you to stumble? If he's causing you to stumble, get in the word so he can pick you up. Amen. He can pick you up. He can guide you. He can lead you. He can do amazing things. You know, it's funny. We were talking about this last night during our family Proverbs time. You know, when we give things to God, when we put him first, when we seek first the kingdom of God, he then gives us the desires of our heart. He then helps us go the places that we should go and puts us in the good path and gives us all the good things that we need. No, it's not prosperity maybe in our minds, and no, it's not perfect here in this world in our minds, but it is more than enough, amen, and it comes from being obedient and getting in his word. And again, we have people In our church, English is not their first language. They struggle reading, and we talk a lot about bilingual translations. We talk a lot about watching videos on Bible commentary, listening to it, going online and studying it, and all of these different ways, audio, visual. I'm a former teacher. I used to teach public speaking, if you can believe it, and I understand people learn differently. Hey, I learn differently, so I know others do too. And the beautiful thing about today is God has given us His Word in so many different formats, whether it's an app on your phone, whether it's the Bible, the King James Bible, whether it is a video, whether it's a commentary, whether it's an animation, whether it's a radio broadcast. There's so many ways, but we must just saturate ourselves in the Word, and God will take care of the rest. He will light our path. I believe it. Now, finally, stumbling by temptation, you know, another way that we stumble, not just ignoring His Word, but this goes along with it, falling into temptation. There's an importance of self-control here. And again, where do we get self-control? We get it from being trained up in the world, being spiritually fit, being spiritually having great fitness and having great knowledge of His Word. And that's how we can control ourselves. But there's a very important aspect of self-control and not stumbling. We are what we eat. Amen. We are what we eat. We are what we consume. And there's preachers have given this example for years. You got the good side and the bad side, the angel and the devil in you, and which one's going to come out the victor? It's always the one you feed most, you know, and that's the same kind of idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 through 30. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, we are accountable for understanding, and this is dealing with the idea of don't take the Lord's Supper if you don't understand what Jesus did for you and you're not saved and you're not part of the body. Because if you do that, you're going to be weak and sickly and many will die. And this is the idea that Christians, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're saying. We don't know what we're studying. You know, we're just going with a feeling of emotion or feelings or ideas that are not biblical. And we must get in the Word and must understand it so that we are spiritually strong. We're accountable for what we eat. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So you're a body. Your body is the temple of God, your spirit, soul, and body. If any man defile the temple of God, look what God's going to do. Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So Paul's saying, we're the temple of God. Don't defile it or God will destroy you, right? So we are what we eat, spiritually, physically, etc. And if we don't take care of ourselves, spiritually, physically, etc., we will be taken out because we are not edifying to God and we are defiling His holy temple. And yet, this is all just for a season. I remind our congregation of that all the time. God's not asking us to do this for the rest of our eternal lives. He's asking us to suffer here and go through these things and go against the fleshly desires and against the temptations and get with Jesus and stay in His Word to have that light, to not stumble for this season. Romans 8, 18 through 23. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So Paul's saying, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in where? In us, in that temple, in that body, in the one that we're supposed to be edifying and getting knowledge in the Word and staying on the right path and staying on the narrow path and so forth. That there will be a time where the glory will be revealed in us. There'll be a time where we will no longer need to have faith because we'll be face to face with Jesus. There'll be a time where we will no longer have to fight this spiritual battle with sin because we'll be in heaven and there's no sin in God's heaven, right? It's just for a season, you know? And I think that helps us put it in perspective. Oh, I get so tired at the night. I have so much stress in my life. And people come up with these reasons why they can't serve God and live for God and get in His Word and so forth. And it's like, back up, wait a minute. You were just here for this like a vapor of this little instance, right? And then you are going to be in heaven forever. So just go ahead and bear these burdens, as Paul is saying. And then Paul is saying that everyone deals with burdens. Everyone deals with these problems. Verse 20 of Romans 8, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, that word liberty, freedom, of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's a lot like pregnancy, right? And you're going through labor while you're pregnant, and you're tired, and you're in pain, and you're achy, and you're just, oh, all these problems. That's what Paul is saying the world is like today for the believer. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, capital S, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of what? Of our body, right? And so Paul's recognizing that our body suffers, and that we deal with these temptations, and that we deal with these ideas that following Christ is difficult, right? And that yet when we live in this world, we stumble if we don't follow Christ, because Christ and the world are at odds. The Bible says that whoever's not for me is against me, right? And that's true. There's a dichotomy here. Either we are the friend of Jesus or the enemy of Jesus. We have to understand that being lukewarm as a Christian, that makes God sick. He wants to spit us out of his mouth. Conclusion, is Jesus a shelter and a rock of salvation for you, or a stumbling block, an offense, a destroyer? Do you realize your need for his holy word today? How's your spiritual diet? Do you feast on him through prayer, through the word, and time with him? Or do you starve yourself and become sick and anemic and are prey for the devil to stumble over his ways and truths to destruction, right? Think about it. The devil's going to go after the weak one, right? The predator, the Bible talks about a roaring lion looking for who he can devour. Well, who's the devil going to go after? That one that's stumbling, that one that is weak and sick and anemic, that one that says, okay, you know what? I grew up in a Christian household, but I'm completely in the world. Oh, that's easy prey for the devil. Oh, the devil will throw a temptation your way that you cannot resist, because it's a spiritual battle and you need to have the whole armor of the Lord on, and you decided to skip the Bible reading. You decided to skip Sunday night service. You decided to stop going to Wednesday night service. You decided to do this, that, and the other thing that was worldly and carnal that put you at risk of stumbling and being prey for the devil. You know, finally here, we should be excited and overjoyed that God has given us this lesson, that God has given us a prescription for spiritual health and a life of victory, not a life of ease, but a life of victory. We should be excited. This whole message came to me out of Psalm 118, 22 through 24. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. So the builders refused it, but it still certainly became the headstone, the cornerstone. The Lord, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. See, the Lord's doing. The Lord allowed all of this to happen in his miraculous, incredible, unbelievable plan. And it should be marvelous in our eyes. We should be blown away by this. Absolutely just thrilled by it, because God made this day. He gave us a way to live. He gave us a way not to stumble. He gave us a way of security. He gave us salvation. He gave us protection. He gave us a great redeemer. I could go on and on. God is so good because he gave us Jesus. And that's him. That's God. And when we trust God and when we live by his ways, we are preserved. We are protected, not just for our sake, but for his name's sake. Amen. He's not going to lose a one, not a one. Amen. He's got us like that big mama bird under his great wings, and we are protected. Hey, the Bible says no man can pluck us out of his hand. No man can pluck us out of his hand. And so what do we do with that? Do we rejoice in it? Are we glad in it? Or do we begrudge it? I want you to think about that today. Be praying that God lights a fire in you to get in his word, to get spiritually strong, to avoid stumbling, to realize that Jesus is the light, to realize that we must live for him today so that we can be with him forevermore. Thank you so much.
Thanks for visiting the cafe today. Our goal is to inspire you with the truth and depth of God's Word in a straightforward manner. Do you know Jesus? You can today. Visit kjvcafe.com to learn more about God's great plan of salvation for all of mankind. Until next time, remember, as Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 puts it, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness."